Fourth District, County Supervisor.
Good job, Todd.
I had your boss in here recently.
Oh, I have a boss?
Yeah, the guy who was the hell head of the county board.
Oh, well, different, you know, responsibilities.
Yeah, different responsibilities.
My constituents are my boss.
Oh, that's
they
right.
Elect
that,
me
you're
in,
absolutely so. Right. Yeah, the voters are the bosses.
That's right.
I think a lot of politicians forget that every once in a while. Oh. I think they better write that down on a piece of paper.
I agree with you, Don. That's very powerful. We should remind them on the radio often.
Yeah, yeah. So, by the way, go out and get me some breakfast as long as you... Oh, I'm not in your district. I'm sorry.
You are my neighboring district. And you know what? This is my community. So.
Okay. Fourth District County Board Supervisor Melissa Caprillion's here. We're going to talk about some of the county boards, some of the county stuff going on. But you just spent 3 weeks in Europe.
I did.
Well, schlepping all over Europe. That's pretty nice.
You know, I'd love to travel, but Don, if you remember, we had one of my foreign... Well, actually, you had both my foreign exchange students in here. I had two foreign exchange students, one for 6 months, one for close to a year. They stay here for a school year, so 10 months. And we also had his dad in here, and one was from Madrid, one was from Belgium. And so I really... The point of it really was not only to go out and travel, but my youngest of four is 12, and I really believe in expanding my children's mind out of their space, expand their bubble. You know, the culture here is a lot different than it is around the world, and I don't want them to get stuck in my way is the only way. And so I think it's a good impressionable age to start traveling across the globe and immerse him in different cultures. And so we flew into Belgium, and the adventures began, but we did go to other places around Europe as well.
We have friends who are missionaries.
Okay.
And they went off to Papua New Guinea. You know where that is?
I don't.
Think of New Zealand, Australia, down in that area, Papua New Guinea. And they took their four boys with them, and they're all little kids, toddlers and so forth. I said, have those people lost their mind going to Papua New Guinea? I saw pictures of it. It's like a paradise down there. But they're missionaries, and that's going to be their life work. And then I was thinking, these kids are exposed to things that I was never exposed to, and my daughter was never exposed to. And so they are now going to be world travelers.
I love that.
And they'll be able to share that with them. And first I thought, what are you, crazy, schlepping some toddlers to the other side of the world in Papua New Guinea? I mean, where is that?
Well, Don, there's something very powerful about brain development when there is that high-level exposure. You know, there's a lot of research and around those who speak multiple languages and then how their quick comprehension and, you know, it's how they can take in things or recall data and also absorb differences. Well, it's the same thing if you expose yourself to differences. A lot of times it's what you don't know that scares you, and you tend to be against what you don't know. So if you can keep exposing yourself to diversity, exposing yourself to environments that may make you feel uncomfortable. So, I mean, we can bring this home and, you know, all the way on the city council floor, all the way on the county board floor, but in work environments and our neighborhoods and decisions that we make. But, you know, get these young ones around different diverse cultures, and it could change the world, Don.
Well, I moved to the Midwest, so that's pretty diverse for me. My parents moved here. My brother moved here. This was
were East Coaster,
this was
right?
Future shock.
Yeah.
Actually, I moved to the South.
Oh.
That was future shock in the 1970s.
Where in the South, Don?
Atlanta.
Okay.
So when I went there, this was back in the mid-70s. I remember the program director of the radio station took me over a drive. Then he pulled into a parking lot, and he looked at me, and he said, you're a long way from home. I just want you to know that. And this is going to be a different world for you down here.
Yeah.
And I just want you to know, you're going to see things, you're going to feel things.
Oh, my goodness.
People are going to talk to you in a different way. I just want you to know that before you make the commitment to move down here.
Wow.
So now I'm frightened to death.
Yes. I think I would have some second
thoughts. Tell me where you went all over Europe.
Yeah, we started out, we landed in Brussels in Belgium, being that my foreign exchange student was from Belgium. Stayed there just for a couple days, and then we headed off. Our destination was Germany, and we took a train. We were in Cologne, and then we're in Berlin for quite some time. And from there, we took a flight to Scotland. and went to Edinburgh.
Tell me you didn't look for the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, I wanted to so bad. We wanted to go to the Highlands. I guess there was a Fringe Festival. And I'm going to tell you, Don, not many people might, they might feel a little uncomfortable doing it this way, but it was a lot of last minute planning. While we were there, we were planning our next steps. So unfortunately for us, it's considered like their high season, very populated with tourists and people coming in, especially in Scotland. And we didn't know this. We just were going at a certain period of time because it fit in our schedules. And so it made for where we were staying difficult or trying to find. So we just kept just looking for, we could have flown into Spain. We could have went to.
Did you have reservations for hotels and stuff?
Or no, just, I was getting them as we were going.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, I mean, I go either way. Sometimes, you know, Don, I think I've told you, I've woken up in the morning and be like, hey, where's there a flight to today? And I've headed, you know, woke up 10 minutes later, I'm out the door driving to Midway or O'Hare or somewhere and, you know, flying off to different locations because sometimes I don't know my schedule till very last minute because it's very compact. And all of a sudden when there's some opening, I'm like, what am I doing today?
You know, I did something very similar to that. The other day I got into the car from the parking lot, went to Pick and Save. Didn't plan on going to Pick and Save. I just decided, you know, I'm going to do something different today. I'm going to go to Pick and Save. No, I'm only kidding.
My goodness.
Now, when you say Scotland, the first thing I think about is Brigadoon.
Okay.
The movie. You ever see the movie?
No, Dad.
Oh, you never saw the movie? Broadway show? Oh,
no.
Great, oh, great musical with.
Sounds like I have to.
Gene Kelly and who was in that? Van Johnson. And there are two New Yorkers that go hunting in Scotland and they wind up by some circumstance of going back to a village that only awakens every 100 years.
Oh, my goodness.
And, of course, Gene Kelly falls in love with the woman, but he's going to go back to sleep for another 100 years. So they go back to New York, and he says, I got to go back. And he goes back, finds the village, and stays there forever. And he goes to sleep for 100 years and wakes up again.
Oh, what a story.
It is called Brigadoon. Great music in that.
There's a lot of legends and stuff. If you, when you're around, you kind of hear them as you're going through Scotland. And you got these old streets and anywhere in Europe, you know, it's just a different flavor than here. And what was really good about Scotland is that they spoke English and I'm not bilingual. So, and it was difficult when we were in Belgium, you know, there was not only Dutch, but French. So where we first were in Brussels, it was French. And then when we went to Antwerp, which was on our last leg of our trip, they spoke Dutch. So, Dutch in Antwerp. And so my foreign exchange student did meet us at the airport. So we got to see him for just a little tiny bit. And then we were kind of off on our own. And then when we flew back to Belgium at the end of our trip, he met us there again. So, and then now school's back in session. And that's why he had come to America. So I'm sitting outside waiting for my young son. And I'm missing the boys. So it's hard, you know, getting back into the groove. And context matters all the time. And so here he is, you know, here I'm sitting outside the school. I'm like, where are my older boys? So we stay connected through social media. So that's real nice. We just talked on the phone. He's meeting girls. He met a girl. He went to Greece and met somebody. So, you know, following that journey of young adulthood.
So well, that's neat.
It is.
Now, did you expect going to Scotland, you were going to see the Highlands there with Scottish bagpipers all over the place? Or did you just see a metropolitan city?
No, it's hard for me to put the metropolitan city in with Scotland. I just feel like it doesn't fit well because you got the old cobblestones and just the architecture, the hills, and it just doesn't fit, even though you do see a little bit more bustling. And plus, I was there for the Fringe Festival. It lasts the whole month of August. But no, I did expect to see, you know, the kilts and the bagpipes. We did actually, well, because it's a festival.
Okay.
So there's a bit of an entertainment value to it.
Yeah.
But you know, it gives you a different perspective. So I do encourage all those who can and are physically able to travel to definitely do it, because when you come back home, you look at home differently.
You do.
So
you do. Yeah. I've been on cruises. I've been to other countries.
Yeah.
And you do look at your home differently again.
There is some truth in. So whatever
I kissed the ground.
Did you? Oh, no. It really was that bad, huh,
No,
John?
No. Oh, yeah. It was fun. But you know what? Dorothy said it best. There's no place like home.
True.
Clicked my heels three times and I wound up here. You know, I was in the Netherlands, which is Holland, people. I had an allergy to cats, really bad, but I didn't know it at the time. I knew I had an allergy, but not as bad as, and I stayed with relatives of my fiance at the time, and she had a cat, and I was miserable. My eyes were watery, all puffy. I was sneezing. So they went out touring and everything. They left me alone with the two kids who did not speak a word of English. And all of a sudden, I heard crying.
Oh, no.
And I said to the older girl, who was about like 4 or 5 years old, I said, what's the matter? I didn't know what she was saying. Oh, so I said, oh, what's going on here? So I run to a neighbor, knock on the door, and I said, you got to help me. I can understand a word she's saying. And I said, oh, my God, I got a screaming baby. I don't know, can't speak to her. The other daughter's trying to translate for me, and she can't speak English. The neighbor didn't speak English.
It almost sounded like a comedy skit, but I can tell in the moment it probably didn't feel like a comedy skit.
So we go out again, and they were taking a bus, and again, the allergies were just driving me nuts. So they said, okay, get off the bus here, walk 2 blocks, 3 blocks that way, 4 blocks that way, picked up that bus, and I got lost. I was in Utrecht, and I didn't know where I was
going. Oh, my goodness.
Nobody spoke English.
It does make it challenging, right? It really does. But I'm going to tell you what was a saving grace for us is that our phones, now that we have our phones, they translate
everything. You got translators
everything.
On it, yeah.
And so it was translating signs. It was translating if we needed to communicate. And so, I mean, there's no excuse why not to travel.
Well, this was 1975. Yeah. Cell phones didn't exist yet.
Right, that's true.
Well, this sounds like a wonderful trip.
Yeah, it was an experience. And, your story kind of sparked something in my mind where my daughter, she went to China and she was doing a study abroad there. She was at a university and their toilet system is a little different, their bathroom. So they're just holes in the ground, right? And they tend to have lots of like bugs that fly around. And I'm kind of jumping to the end of the story, but her roommate and her were at the store and they wanted like a body spray. And so for about a week or two, they were using this body spray, and they had met some friends there that were local. And while they were in one of the convenience stores, they's like, oh, look at, there's our body spray. And the guy had said, what are you using that for? And they said, body spray. We put it on our body. And he just bent over rolling, laughing. And when he came to, he said, that's bug spray. And so, I mean, I guess they were serving a couple purposes. And they did say it kind of smelled awful, but it smelled better than all the other ones they were smelling on the shelf.
Let me cross that destination off my list.
Yeah, no.
Wow.
So it was quite comical. It's cute. The things we do when we don't know, right?
But. So I'm in Israel with my fiance. She speaks the language. I didn't speak the language. So we're walking around, I think, Jerusalem, and this young man comes up to us. He's in the military, and he says, now he's not speaking English, and he says, would you like me to show you around? It's my day off. Okay. And so we're walking around. Now he's like 20-something, so I was kind of stupid. And he was showing stuff, and he's talking to my fiance, talking to her and everything, and I can see she doesn't like where the conversation's going. I can see it in her face. And she says, no, kapow. I said, what is he saying? What is he saying? Just calm down. I said, what is he saying? So he walked away. He was saying, ditch your boyfriend and meet me here and I'll take you out tonight. And she said, no, my boyfriend, kapow. You're like, I'm going to beat up a guy in the Israeli military.
What a story. Didn't you share a story on the radio that didn't you get held or something at an airport or... I thought you had some type of security thing
happened to you. We were going, leaving Israel, and we were going to Germany to get on to the Netherlands. And I said, well, let's get the bus. Well, we missed the bus. This is like 3 o'clock in the morning. We missed the bus. So we walked for 3 miles holding her guitar and a suitcase. Oh. All our other stuff was shipped. Yeah. And we're getting there and we get into the airport. It was raining. I'm soaking wet. I'm ticked off, and they say, you missed the plane. And I throw my bag across the thing, and I'm screaming because I have temper. And all these guys with red jackets, oh, boy, can we help? Can we help? Can we help? And I tell them the story. They said, well, we'll get you another flight. Don't worry, we'll get you another flight. So we're standing online going through security. Now, this was 1975. They didn't have security at the airports in this country. There was nothing. You can walk on the plane with somebody if you wanted to. So we're sitting at security, and I'm going to miss the flight, the next flight. It's just, I'm getting aggravated. So the guy in front of me, he says, why don't you cut in front of me? He says, it's going to take a while. And he said, we do this security here. You people aren't ready for it yet in America. You will be someday, but you're not ready for it now. And they made me take my clothes off right down to my underwear.
Oh.
I guess I look suspicious. I look like a hippie.
Wow.
And so we got on that plane. We just made it. But there was no one to pick us up in the Netherlands because we missed the first flight. And her aunt didn't know what happened. I couldn't call anybody because they don't speak English. So anyway, so that was my big...
Wow, you are a collection.
I'm not a good traveler. I don't go with the flow like you do.
Oh, but you know what? All the adventures await, you know, if you're willing to be open to them. So, and I'll tell you, the rail system there makes you, when you come back home, you know, I happened to go to a city council meeting recently. Well, I was going to the executive meeting, and I happened to sit and listen to the public comment of the counseling meeting that followed. And the topic of the majority of the speakers were about bringing rail in and being open to that. And when you travel, and even here nationally, but internationally especially, it just makes commuting so much easier. And you can just see that people are just getting connected to spaces. And, you know, sometimes, you know, Racine, we talk about the city of Racine because we're surrounded by municipalities and we just don't have that access to that, to the interstate, you know, like Mount Pleasant does. And it's about easier access. Get that rail in there. More people start filling up and, you know, choosing to live and work and play here. So
when I moved here in 1980, the lead story they were talking about was the Racine-Kenosha Rail.
Yes.
That was 1980. They're still talking about the Racine-Kenosha Rail.
Yeah. And rightfully so. They should be. But not only should they
be
talking about
anything.
There you go. Yeah. It can be frustrated. But look at, you know, there's always a change of people and decision makers. So
what's holding it up?
Well, it's not only does Racine, you have to partner with the neighboring municipality. So you need to kind of have this coalition. It can't just be one, right? You're going to have a very short rail going back and forth just in Racine. So you really got to get your neighbors on board. But, you know, getting people that are motivated, you know, you get the right leaders and make, if that's the topic, if that's their focus, because there's a lot of issues going on. So can't really always blame the leaders, but there's a lot of issues you're juggling when you're sitting in those seats. So, but hopefully the leaders in, you know, our neighboring municipalities and districts or cities and then ours will get together and make this a priority. So, and there's always dollar issues as well. So let's not forget about that.
I want to hold you over for a few more minutes. Just talk about the county board stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So we know what's going on.
Great things to talk about.
So how many people did you schlep over to Europe?
There was four of us total. Yeah, there was four of us total. But, you know, there was a lot. And we met up with family there. So
how many kids?
Dimitri's family. Well, define a child. No, I'm just kidding. my daughter, who's 31, she'll be 32 in a couple weeks.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
But it's my kid.
No little kids, though, right?
My 12-year-old. My youngest is 12.
That's okay.
Yeah.
All right. I couldn't. Toddlers, and I wouldn't do that.
My plane ride wasn't that bad. We didn't have that many crying babies. I mean, every once in a while, but not the whole flight with some people's nightmare, having to hear a baby the whole way. But you got to fear for, you know, you got to feel for those kids who are trapped in this space. What the heck is going on? So
I feel for myself trapped in that space with the screaming.
You can truly look at it both ways.
I don't mind screaming babies. Okay. What I mind is the person who wants to put their seat back. Now I'm 6'3" and my legs are big. And on a great day, there's no room for my legs.
Right.
And they decide to put the seat. What am I supposed to do with my feet? Take them off and put them back on when I'm done? So I kick the back of the seat and they get aggravated.
Oh, Dad.
And I said, you got to move. What am I going to do with my feet?
Yeah.
You're pushing me back. I can't move back anymore.
And you haven't flown recently. And actually, because I fly a lot, the seats are getting smaller. The space is getting smaller. It's no issue for me. I'm only 5'2" almost. Right. So
I'm a foot taller than you.
Yeah. Right.
And my knees have nowhere to go. It used to be like that in movie theaters, but now they got those Barca loungers. You don't have to worry about that
stuff. Well, I know, and if I see you're my passenger next to me, that you're appreciating I'm next to you, but I'm thinking, his legs are going to be over by my side, and his arms are going to be over.
If you get one of those emergency exit rows, yes, those are always bigger.
True.
But now they want to charge for it.
Yes.
Before, you know, they would ask you, would you be willing to help people? And the guy would say, no. Then I'd move into his seat. I'll help.
Right.
You know, what's going to happen?
I know.
And if I don't help, what are you going to do? How are you going to know? I'll be first out on the chute.
Oh, Don.
No, I wouldn't do that. Okay, so we're going to talk. Okay. You're 4th District.
That's right.
Not Alder, but the 4th District County Board Supervisor.
Yes.
How often do you have meetings?
Well, we're coming up to budget, so we're going to have a lot more, but twice a month is for the county board, but we're on standing committees. I'm on 2 standing committees, so I have 3 meetings a month.
No, hold on. We'll talk about your standing committee.
Yep.
So anything important, by the way?
Yeah.
Anything else we can say? Who's on the pothole committee?
Don, that's the city.
Okay.
I'm stepping away from that one. I mean, there are county roads, too, so but right. I liked it. Let's just push it off to somebody else.
Melissa Caprillion, 4th District. Yeah. County Board Supervisors are visiting today. We talked about a trip to Europe. We're going to talk about county board stuff. But I got to mention, today is 9/11. And it's hard to believe how many years have passed by, because I remember when that happened. And I tried to get a hold of a good friend of mine from high school, Gary Guja. His twin brother, Jeff Guja, was a lieutenant in the New York City Fire Department. And the building collapsed on him. Oh. And so he was gone. I don't even know if they ever found him. When I talked to Gary a couple of years back, I didn't even ask him that. I don't want to know. So I talked to him, and you know, we bring it up. He gets very sad. It was his twin, and I think twins have a special bond that other siblings don't have. And I asked him to come on this morning. I left him a message. He didn't see the message or whatever. So I wanted to talk to him this morning on the anniversary of 9/11. But you know, you go to high school with these people, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's got a plaque at the World Trade Center by the pond, and Lieutenant Jeffrey Guja. Mm. And wow, that's something.
It is hard to believe that many years has passed.
24 years.
Yeah.
24. Yeah.
And, you know, I used to travel quite a bit. I know that's closer to your hometown over there on that side, East Coast. But I used to go to New York quite a bit. And shortly thereafter, I traveled there. And I normally stay in Jersey City. And there's a train that takes you right where the Twin Towers were. And you can see the deconstruction as they were trying to rebuild it up, but there's a church real nearby that was still standing, and that's where they got a lot of respite care during the efforts right shortly thereafter. And I'm telling you, the gloom, and if you've gone to, they have the memorial, the 9/11 memorial. Yeah. It is powerful. Yeah. Don't plan anything else for your day, because you can't function normally after you go through that. Whoever curated it was just genius. And but it is extremely powerful. I highly recommend, if you travel to Manhattan, that you definitely go to the memorial. It's part of our history, but it is powerful there. And just like you, just like all of us who were old enough, we do remember where we were at that exact moment.
Where were you?
I was dropping my kids off at school. So, and you're listening to the radio, and a lot of us parents went and retrieved our children, you know, like, what are we going to do? But it's just like, you're just in a state of shock, and you don't know what's to come, and you just want your loved ones close to you, because there is just that much grief and unknown. And so I went and turned around, and after a while, went and picked up my kids. So
I was here on the radio. I was on our WEZY, was our FM at the time. And we were doing a traffic report, and it was with Metro Traffic, and I hear him pause. I said, what's the matter? He said, just an accident. Plane went into the World Trade Center. I can't believe the plane there was this horrible accident. So we did another traffic report a few minutes later, and he said, I can't believe it. A second plane went in. And at that point, we knew this was no accident. And so that's where I was. I was in that room right in back of you.
Wow.
And I heard that. Then I went outside, and I couldn't believe how beautiful a day it was here. And there was that chaos going on all over, Pennsylvania, the Pentagon, and in New York. I remember them building the World Trade Center when I was a kid.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember that.
Wow, a lot of history.
We did a radio promotion when they were filming the movie King Kong in 1970. They filmed it in 75. They had to get thousands of people, as many as they could, to the base of the World Trade Center in the middle of the night so they can film this scene when King Kong falls off the World Trade Center. So we ran promotions. They were going to have a rock concert, prizes, just to get the people out there at 1 o'clock in the morning, because you got to film movies when no one's around, and you can't do it when there's traffic all over Lower Manhattan. So in the movie, King Kong, at the end, when you see his arm laying there and the people gathering around, that was that night that they at 1 o'clock in the morning when they did that. That's a horrible day.
Yeah, truly. I had some friends stuck in the subway system during that time. So,
well, that's a normal thing.
Yeah, well, true.
That's an everyday thing, stuck in the subway. That's nothing special.
Right.
That happens all the time.
Right. A little different reason why, but there is a compilation online where people compiled movies that the Twin Towers were in. So, you know, the World Trade Center they were in. And so you can go online, Google it. And
Right. There are a lot of movies with that.
Yeah.
And they asked, one of the movies was released right after 9/11, but they filmed it, you know, the year before. And they said, why didn't you take the World Trade Centers out? They said, we're not going to erase history.
Right.
We're not going to erase the memories of the city. They're there.
Good choice.
And that's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forget what the movie was. I think it was a romantic comedy, and they actually showed it, you know. And you see it at that time, you saw it on screen, said, oh, no. And it really brought back horrible feelings.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if moving to a little bit of a lighter note, you know, we have some things going on here.
Yeah,
In Racine County. So a lot of great things, things we're doing definitely to honor those who have dedicated themselves and served. So kind of on the same theme. But the Veterans Stand Down is happening Saturday
at Festival Park.
Festival Park. I've been hearing it promoted here on the radio here with you. It is from 10 to 2. So today I'm going to be over at Festival Hall today and tomorrow helping out get prepared for that. And this is really, it's a focus on homeless veterans or veterans in need and veterans in general. So please, if you're a veteran and, you know, come down to Festival. You don't have to pay for parking meters. That was something that.
They don't have parking meters anymore.
Well, you should still be paying, right? You have to do it on your phone. I'm not the biggest fan, I know. But that was part of the reason why I got behind asking the city to waive the fees indefinitely. So hope future.
Good for you.
Yeah, hopefully the future city council keeps it that way. But so come on down and, you know, there'll be services there provided. There'll be lots of goodies. A lot of people have worked real hard on getting some supplies for the veterans that are in need. So 10 to 2. And today, which is a little late, but here, you know, stir up some interest and maybe they'll do it again. But there's a field day out at Case Eagle Park and lots of different agencies that are involved in this. But it is to talk about there's a agricultural scientist out there and they're testing the soil. I was out there on a combine. It was so awesome, Don, you know, riding there, doing different planting practices. And this is really a farmer was the one who I was on his combine and trying to be the spokesperson to help other farmers, trying to change their practices of planting and, you know, with erosion and water quality. You know, we do need to find different measures, practices. And so you can get out there, you can learn a lot more. I'm not doing justice on all the great things that they're doing environmentally, but, you know, if it is of something of interest for watershed protection or even soil health, that these are interests to you, you know, reach out to Racine County, reach out to your supervisors, reach out to whoever you have access to. And, you know, we can spread the word and tell you more about what we're doing at the county or what we're supporting at the county.
Any big projects other than those going on with the county we should know about? You must deal with county roads, though.
Yes. And you see my shoulders are going up. I'm like, okay, about the orange barrels, aren't we?
About the potholes. I don't have a problem with orange barrels. I love orange barrels. Yeah. That way I don't wind up in a hole.
Yes. Yeah, see, it's
no, the orange barrels ain't on a problem. I just want to know. I just want to know what's going on out there. That's all. Sometimes I see these holes in the ground and didn't see anybody fixing them. And that, it just, that's what I just, tell me some of the projects other than these nice, you know, projects that are helping people.
Yeah. Well, you should be paying attention to over on Taylor Avenue, the mental health facility that's going up. That's major. That's major for
that is big, yeah.
For our community. I mean, we have a little bit of, you know, readjustments to do just because we can't control the, you know, we make these decisions early, but then the prices that come in when it comes time changes, right? So we have that and, you know, more construction that's going to be coming. And, you know, sometimes the frustration, they don't know where to point it. But you go from, like, let's say Spring Street and, you know, you're turning onto Green Bay Road or one of your side streets. And you have city projects. You have state projects. You have county projects. So.
I was told that bridge, the State Street Bridge.
Yeah.
That's a federal thing.
Yeah.
That's not a city, state. It's federal. I didn't realize that.
Right. So sometimes you get so mad, you know, people, you know, the city, the county. And
who do I strangle? Give me the list of people.
Oh, well, let me give you my list and tell you that's who's behind it.
Hold on a second. We're talking to Melissa Caprillion. She is the 4th District County Board Supervisor. What's the difference between an alderman and a county board supervisor?
Yeah, the responsibilities are greatly different. I want you to think of the county as just an arm of the state. So a lot of what the county is doing are mandated services that are, you know, put upon us by the state. So city's a little bit different. So if you want to complain about your garbage pickup and, you know, make sure you talk to your alderman about that. But, you know, mental health and child support, the court system, the jail and... there's a lot more than that. I'm really simplifying it, but that is the difference. But, you know, when we were talking about what's going on and we were talking about the orange barrels, things like that, the one thing that, you know, when you come back from travel and, you know, we talked about how you just look at your home differently. So I've been utilizing the bike trails. I've been going, riding my bike along the lake. And so it's just really a reminder, you know, our space around here, especially in Racine County, there is a lot of great things to see and explore. I came back and I did drive around Wisconsin, looked at the great sites in Wisconsin, and but here, right in our backyards in our hometown, you know, get out there, you know, make a point. You know, life is short, and you know, we only have, you know, so many days, and put in those factors too of good weather, and you know, get outside, talk to your community, get acquainted to the beautiful spaces here. When I leave here, I'm going to go help at the Veterans Outreach or help them with the stand down preparation. And then I'm going to hop on the bike trail and I'm going to go check out. I have a friend who's going to show me some new spaces I haven't been before, a different part of the bike trail.
You know what I hate? I hate the words homeless veterans.
That's fair.
Something shouldn't belong together.
Yeah.
You think about somebody who was dodging bullets, fighting for their lives. Then they come over here and they don't have a home. Yeah. I mean, that's just something wrong with that.
Those two things shouldn't go along. And yeah, because, you know, I really have been quite mindful. I worked at HALO from 2006, 2018, off and on in various capacities. And the one thing I learned with language is you say those who are experiencing homelessness. But when you do think of veterans, there should be no connection between the two. So there shouldn't be a veteran that is experiencing homelessness. Yeah, I would agree with you on that one.
Let's keep it light here for a few minutes. I got some fun facts.
I'll bounce off you here.
The first webcam invented in 1991. By the computer science researchers at the University of Cambridge. What do you think they did with it?
I don't know.
They kept it in the kitchen to see how low the coffee was going, so they have to make new coffee.
I never would have guessed.
That's why they invented it, to keep their eye on the coffee maker. They wanted to see if they had to make coffee or not. There's a typo at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington.
Is there now?
That's right. Most people don't catch it. The word is future. It was engraved as EU. T-U-R-E. Officials believe that the artist Ernest C. Bairstow grabbed an E stencil by accident. Now, they tried to fill it in, but you can still see it doesn't say future. Yeah. It still said that E is still there, but they tried to make it. Nobody caught that. But it's right there at the Lincoln Memorial. That's kind of interesting. We talked about off the air about Zoom meetings and Google Meets.
Yeah.
These were the top phrases we're sick of hearing on Zoom and Google Meet. Can you all hear me?
Oh, yes.
Oops. Lost you there for a second.
Oh.
You're on mute.
Don?
Sorry. My connection sucks. And finally, please mute yourself if you're not speaking.
Oh, goodness. A lot of us who have to take part in a lot of online meetings would agree with every single one of those. But we were talking, Don, about how many people, when we first started getting used to it during COVID, how we captured things in their homes that were quite embarrassing, where people forgot their cameras were on and they were, you know, may not have been fully dressed or still in bed.
When I worked in Atlanta, we had a TV station, Channel 2 was our TV station there. And the anchors wore sport jackets, ties, nice blouses for the women.
Yes.
Underneath, they wore blue jeans.
That's it.
But you couldn't see because they were sitting at the desk.
Right.
They never got up. And that's what they stood up, it would look kind of, they were in shorts in the summer.
Yes.
But you couldn't notice it. Here's something else.
Yeah.
All right. What's your biggest letdown when you became an adult? What's your biggest letdown? I have some of them here.
Yeah. What did they say?
Okay. You have to pay for everything. Even the stuff you didn't know about, like insurance. When I was a kid, I want that. Mom, Dad, see the cash register guy.
That's why more kids are staying at home longer. I'm telling you. They're not leaving the house as quickly.
You miss having an entire summer vacation. The first time you got to get a job, you say, okay, we get off with June what, and we come back September? No. You work during this. I remember the first time I had to work during the summer. I was a janitor at a radio station.
Okay.
Man, it was the oddest thing to have to work during the summer. Just because you have a salary doesn't mean you have a ton of money to spare. You can't just throw $1,000 here, $100 there without thinking about it. When you're a kid, buy this, buy that. You don't have to worry about it. You don't automatically become wise, mature, or rational. You have to work at it.
Goodness, isn't that the truth?
Having your own house isn't as cool as it sounds. The buying process is horrible. Things are constantly breaking. The whole thing becomes a money pit.
That's the truth, especially when you live in a 1906 house, right?
I live in an old house from the early 1900s. The house next to me is from the 1800s.
Oh, wow.
You hear about the Jane School?
I'm
surprised. We had the mayor in here. They closed down the Jane School.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I felt bad because it's an old school from the 1800s.
Yeah.
And I saw all the, I live right down the block from it, and I saw all the trailers and whatever, like gutting it. And I said,
isn't that so sad?
How are these kids going to play in the playground with all these trailers there? And my wife said, they closed down the school. What do you mean the trailer? Kids are going to play in the playground with all the workmen there.
That was my kindergarten. I went to school in kindergarten, part of first grade there.
You lived right across the street from me.
Yeah, I did.
I mean, I wasn't there when you lived there,
right.
But yeah, you know, Jane School. It's really old inside, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's part of my memories, but at the time, I didn't feel it was old. But
they have fireplaces in there?
No, Don.
Well, we had, where I grew up, we had five elementary schools.
Yeah.
And one was Fairfield School, and each room had a fireplace in it.
Really?
Well, they built in the 1880s.
All right.
And
well,
they had fireplaces, and they didn't use them, but they were in there in the classrooms. I've seen them.
Oh, that's interesting. Nope.
Here's another one.
That's before me.
Even though you can buy and eat anything you want, you feel sick and get chubby when you start eating a whole box of Cinnamon Toast Crunch every day.
I know. Where is the fairness in that? My child can consume way too much and nothing fluctuates on his body.
And here's my favorite one. You realize how much your parents did for you and what an ingrate you really were.
Yes.
And no matter what you do now, you can't make up for it.
Isn't that right?
Isn't that the truth,
that
one?
That is such the truth.
I always get teary-eyed when I think. I lived in a Leave It to Beaver household.
Mm.
My parents, I never knew what their money problems were. I never knew anything because it was none of my business. You just be a kid.
Yeah.
We'll worry about the big stuff.
Us parents do shield our children from quite a bit, but maybe we shouldn't to the full extent. But we do. And
because I don't want my kid worrying.
Isn't
that
the truth?
None of her business.
Right.
Be a kid.
We do have to raise self-sufficient adults, but that can come in different forms. We definitely don't want to put that burden on a child.
I'm glad you came back safely from Europe.
Thank you, Don.
Now get to work.
I know. Well, let me go play a little bit first.
Okay.
I will.
Thank
it's
you.
Always a pleasure.
Melissa Caprillion, our 4th District County Board Supervisor, just came back from Europe. Nice talking to you. It's exactly.